This is Anthony Gould, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the X exclusive rookie mock series. I am Cody Carpentier. And joining me today is a dynasty god. It's my brother. That's an intro right there, baby. The dynasty god, the co-founder of South Harmon, the Tier Don King, 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast, South Harmon, FF.com. Mike, how the fuck are we doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. You are like my little brother in the space that could just beat my ass, which I love. It's fantastic. You're an inspiration to me, Cody. I look up to you.
No such thing. I don't want to hear
that. I'm out here rocking the Jurassic Park t-shirt. Throwback, right? Old school. Let's go.
Clean cut. Actually, I have a sweatshirt to show you after the show. It's modeled after the Jurassic Park, but it doesn't say Jurassic Park on it. I'm going to show it to you after the show. But we're here for a two-round Superflex rookie mock draft, no tight end premium. We're going to hammer the hell through two rounds, and I'm going to take the 101 this time. I've been giving a 101 to all of our guests, but I like Mike so much, I'm not giving it to him. So 101, we're going to start out hot and fresh, off the press. Very easy. Caleb Williams, quarterback one. Chicago Bear, quarterback one. Shocker. Plug it in. Take it home. Yeah, not a shocker. Not a lot of analysis or analysis right here, but Caleb goes 101. Mark.
I like it. Analysts. You don't need analysts on Caleb Williams 101. I do got a question, though. If, hypothetically, though, we get to NFL draft and Jaden got that draft capital, right, 102, 103, would you consider it?
Only if it's a, you know, I think one of the few pins here is Atlanta and Minnesota. If one of these guys, May or Daniels, goes to Atlanta or Minnesota because of the talent around them, I would possibly lean towards one of them. Possibly. Like May and Minnesota, and I have no homerism attached. With Addison, Jefferson, and Hockenson, it's going to be really hard for me not to click that button.
Love it. Well, 102 then is easy for me. I'm going to go Jaden Daniels. I think he is in the conversation, at least for me, as 101 because of that rushing floor. And we're doing a fantasy draft. You look historically over the last couple of years where the elite quarterbacks, for us, it's how we view it through warp wins over a replacement player. Those elite guys all have that really high rushing floor. Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, et cetera. So Jaden Daniels, 102 for me. Now, this will change, though, if some of the rumors are true that maybe NFL teams don't like him as much, and we're talking about maybe a pick in the teens, 20s. I think it's bullshit, too. But if it is true, then we'd readjust. But with what I know right now, Jaden Daniels, 102, and I'd be happy with it. I want that elite rushing floor from my quarterback at the top.
One of the only reasons I'm nervous about Daniels is I don't love New England and I don't love the Giants. And if he landed in one of those two spots, I wouldn't love it. The rushing would still be there, I think, in both spots heavily. But the weaponry would make me squint and get pissed. And I'd take, you know, a couple of these receivers over Daniels, I think, in that situation. Over the last three mocks that we've run, he's been the 105. Mays went 102, 103, and then these two receivers have jumped up into this conversation. You left May right here. May's my 102, so I'm going to take May at the 103, the quarterback out of North Carolina. Like I said, I think that a team's going to move up. I think whether it's Atlanta, whether it's Minnesota, I don't know if Denver doesn't quite have the heat to get up there to two or three to take a May. I don't love the Washington spot, so I'm kind of betting on a trade. My analysis baked into Drake May here, but I'm going to take Drake May at the 103.
I love it, man. It's a good one. Probably my favorite quarterback in the class. There's a good conversation whether he's better than Caleb Williams. I think it's a reasonable conversation to have, but he's awesome. I just put out the rushing floor, though. Drake May can run. I do love him. He would have been my pick, but you know, since you're leaving and I'm a quarterback guy, I'm going to buy into the combine. I'm going to buy into what people are talking about. It's been a slow burn. Derek Brown at Fantasy Pros, he's kind of the guy who got me started on this. Thor has since got me there. 104, J.J. McCarthy, and I think he's getting the draft capital.
Oh, shit.
I think he's getting the draft capital. Yep.
You're doing it.
I think top 15 is the floor, and it's more realistically he's going to be top 10, in my opinion. I think Vikings, Broncos, Raiders, all et cetera, have a realistic case to trade up to take J.J.
I just did a draft earlier the other day with Theo Greminger post-combine, and I thought getting J.J. at the 108 was just give it to me.
Chef's
give it
kiss. To
me. Right? 104. If you know, I agree with you, top 15 lock. If he is a top 8 pick, I think this 104 situation is going to rear its head, especially if it's Caleb to the Bears, it's May to Washington, it's Daniels to New England, and then the you know the Falcons get up to 4 or 5, and it's like whoa. I think this conversation can definitely be had. So yep. I like the heat you're bringing here with JJ. The gun's to my head. It feels like you didn't make this easy on me. You didn't take a receiver in front of me. So the pistol's pointed at me, and I'm going to do it. I ripped the Band-Aid off 3 weeks ago when I tweeted out, why isn't Malik Nabers wide receiver one in this class? Give me an answer other than just the word Marvin Harrison. I want analysis. Got a lot of heat for it, but I also got one of the true dogs in the NFL space, one of the few I look up to. Lance Zierlein replied, said, he is my wide receiver one. In short, whilst at the combine, we had this conversation for about 6 hours. It started at Buffalo Wild Wings after 9 p.m. apps. And this conversation ended about 2:30 in the morning when we realized that we had to be up at 6 the next morning to go back down to the combine, do work. We watched all 22 of Marv, Malik, and Rome for about 4.5 hours at the combine. Maddie, myself, and Alex. And I started with Malik at 1. I'm still Malik at 1. I love Marv. I love Rome. I think there's no conversation to be had right here. Whether I say Rome, whether I say Malik, whether I see Marvin, it doesn't matter. These three dudes going round one, going top 10 is a 80-plus percentile likely outcome. It's ungodly. It's Watkins, Evans, it's Odell. Those three went top 12. These three could go top 10. I don't care who you like. Pick your favorite, you know, chocolate, pick your favorite candy, whatever you want. Take him. My favorite, archetype, 6 foot tall, 200 pounds, the archetype. He's going to run a 4.40 at his pro day. Malik Nabers is my choice in candy. Give me Malik Nabers here at the 105. The pistol was finally pointed at my head. I took it.
Got it. You got it, man. I like it. I do have some reservations about Malik Nabers. Now, granted, there's a lot better people, right? This is Roster Watch. This is you. I mean, you're talking about you guys sitting down and watching tape. I, too, have dived into the tape, but I'm a novice. Like, I'm a novice when it comes to tape. But how I run my dynasty team is just based on draft value, perception, market value, thinking about future moves down the line, what I can trade these guys for, what kind of tier they get me into. When I watch it, Malik Nabers is fantastic. Like, when I watch it, though, maybe it's bias for me. I think Marv is just that little bit better, which I put him just above Nabers. Like, yeah. I agree. In the grand scheme of it, they're probably all three in the same tier, the same bucket of awesomeness. If I had preference, though, it's like Marv, tier break, very tiny. Adunze, Nabers. Just how gotcha. I've watched all three of them. So, here, if you're going to leave me, you're going to leave me, Marv. It's the 106. It's the 106. I'd do backflips if I got Marvin Harrison at the 106. I'd be completely happy. And I think a lot of the leagues I'm in, he's going to be valued just a little bit differently than Malik Nabers because the hype, the lineage, who his dad is, playing at Ohio State. We've heard about him for multiple years. Malik Nabers was more of a recent thing for a lot of the community. People who really are into college football obviously have known that Malik Nabers is pretty damn awesome for a long time. So Marv at the 106 just feels like a gift for me.
It's too sick. That's what it is. It's too sick. And I think with the learning experiment he's here, we're six picks in. Caleb 101, Jaden Daniels 102, Drake May 103, JJ McCarthy 104, Neighbors 105, Malik 106. Or sorry, I said that wrong. Neighbors 105, Marvin 106. Is if you don't need a quarterback, which in Superflex generally everybody needs a quarterback, but if you're sitting there hot pocketed with Hurts and Mahomes or Allen and Mahomes, whatever, you're stacked up. You don't need a quarterback. This right here is showing you that there's potential for you to move back to from the 3 to the 6. And what you're learning is I'm going to take Roma Dunze 107, but if you move back from the 3 to the 6 or the 2 to the 6 for someone that needs a quarterback and you say, well, I need a stud, doesn't matter which one of these studs I get, I think you can get back to that 6 spot. And there's potential for this JJ McCarthy thing to happen. There's potential for, 100% likely that Marv, Rome, or Malik are going to be there at 106. So it's going to be insane value regardless, whichever way you split it. But yeah, I mean, it's tough to sit here and look at Marv at 106, man. I it's pretty good value. 107, though, I'm going to take Rome. You left me Rome. Oh, you left me Rome. No, I mean, come on. It's all three of these dudes are elite. So 107, Roma Dunze, not a lot needs to be said.
He's a monster, man. Combine was amazing, too, to actually see him put it all on the field. Right? I talked about it within our Discord, talking about I think this dude's an actual freak, like the way he plays on the field, speed, agility, right? He is a monster. And I love that guy. You talked about it, though, 107. You're getting Roma Dunze, a guy who I have as my personal wide receiver, too. A guy who's going to get the elite draft capital in the NFL, who's going to be a monster coming out of the gates and a gift. That's the 107 in this class, Cody. The 107. And that's like the floor. Like, get you a 107 pick or better and just be happy. I'll let everybody else figure the shit out in front of me. I'll take whatever the hell's left. It's awesome.
And you're not even talking about potentially being in leagues where people may want Brock Bauer, even though it's not tight end premium. They might want Brock Bowers, and he might push him down even a little bit more. But I did want to say just one more thing. Well, this is going to air in a couple of days, but Matty Kiwum, in those conversations when we were watching All 22, he might have Roma Dunze.
One?
Maybe.
Oh, Matty.
You might. With the spice. Don't know. You got to go over to the draft rankings on YouTube to check into our latest podcast to see a little bit about that. But Maddie loves him some Roma Dunze. So 108 here, Mike.
We're recording this on Wednesday. I get Maddie on the AMA tonight. So we'll grill him.
Bring it up.
We'll see if I can get him to do a 66 milli Zen on. Nah, just kidding. I ain't gonna do that to anybody. Just me. All right, 108. You talked about Brock Bowers. Everybody really loves him. With what I know, though, I don't know what the tight end premium of this hypothetical league is drafting. And the way I do it, it would have to be a monster for me to take a tight end this high. Now, I say this high, and people go, it's the 108. What the hell are you talking about? Brian Thomas Jr., though, is my pick. I'm passing on Brock Bowers. No thank you on the tight end. They just don't mean shit in most leagues. They really don't.
Yeah. Okay. So 100%. I agree with you. And I'm not taking, I don't take tight ends this early either. 108, Brian Thomas. Can you tell me straight up your post combine analysis of Brian Thomas? Because I'm going to be straight transparent with you. I don't have him no longer in my round one conversation. But I would love to hear, your thoughts on Thomas.
Well, we knew coming in, he was a hell of a field stretcher. He was an elite athletic specimen. I don't think the combine did anything other than confirm what I had seen on tape. Actually, watching Malik Nabers tape, I came away more impressed personally with Brian Thomas, just the length. I think the one thing that kind of put me off a little bit was not being like that 6'4", 6'5", more in that 6'3 range where you're like, okay. I had this impression that he was a bigger, lankier wide receiver. Probably my comp that I have, and a lot of people will say maybe that's lazier, like helmet scout, but he reminds me a lot of DJ Chark. Yeah. And people will look at DJ Chark now and go, ugh. But you have to remember DJ Chark balled the fuck out his rookie year. And his second year, he was on a great trajectory for scoring fantasy points for us until J-Rob ran into the back of his ankle and snapped it. So DJ Chark, you know, coming out. I mean, we made a damn song about him, right? Yep. Every one of the highlights, you know, DJ Chark, Actually, it was Baby Shark, but I was pumping the shit out of that for my kid at the time. But I love Brian Thomas Jr. I don't think the combine did anything for me. I wasn't there, so I didn't hear a lot of the chatter. But for me, it just confirmed what I'd seen on tape. And kind of that wide receiver four for me just solidified it.
So the testing, and you brought up the good point. The good point, as you brought up, was solidified, check the box you already knew was checked, which was the speed, right? 4.33. We expected 4.36, 4.37. Yes, 4.33 is fantastic at 209 pounds. I do think he's going to 100% get draft capital, 100% be around one pick. I would say probably overdrafted. My worry is that he's almost one-dimensional. He's kind of a developmental route runner. We did all the grading at the combine of the routes, the gauntlet, everything, slant go, seven out, bench, whip, everything. Graded all of it. Thomas graded third worst in the class. Not as reckless as Troy Franklin, but the dichotomy of conversation is that last year was Bryce Ford Wheaton, Joe Nauta, Jason Brownlee. These guys were graded higher than where Brian Thomas graded out in this year's class. So I have reservations and worry for Brian Thomas and Troy Franklin. Franklin's a guy that I had wide receiver four going. I actually had him wide receiver 10 like a month and a half ago. And our boy Maddie made me, he's like, you need to go back and watch more Troy Franklin.
Right.
I was like, I think I know where I have him. He's like, you got to watch more. And I was like, all right. So I turned it back on. I was like, I guess I can see some JMO here. I can see, moved him to four, way overcorrected. And he was the number one worst route runner at the combine. Brian Thomas is a little worried.
That was evident on the broadcast watching. Oh, it was like
that gauntlet. That was the worst gauntlet, maybe all time.
The only one I put in that classification was watching Adonai perform at the combine too. And some of those drills, I was like, this isn't pretty.
Yeah, the drills weren't fantastic for Adonai. There's a group of guys here that you know are in the I don't want to say top tier conversation, but they're in the upper conversation, and their routes were not sufficient. Thomas, Troy Franklin, Devontae Walker, Keon Coleman, Cowing's kind of just been falling off. But the rest of these guys were kind of middling. Adonai was in the lower quarter as well, unfortunately, closer to the Grant Dupos, Jalen Hyatt tier, as far as last year's class comparing. But I think the point more so I have on Brian Thomas is he's going to be – he could be fine. But I think it needs a Buffalo, a Dallas, a Philly, a Cincinnati, something like that with a creative mind and a team with a quarterback that can put the ball down the field where we know he can win. And they're going to draw four or five plays a game for Brian Thomas.
Would a Jags work for him? Like, I've seen that around there at 17. Would that work for him as like the Calvin Ridley replacement? Because you got Kirk in the intermediate, and Brian Thomas would be the deep ball guy.
I think the idea behind that would be then that he replaces Zay Jones. He's not near the route runner that Calvin Ridley is.
Not a lot of people are, to be fair.
Yes. And I think that's the problem. I think they definitely need a route runner for sure, but I think that's something attainable where they have Christian Kirk, they have Parker Washington on the roster.
Right.
They can go bring in, you know, KJ Osborne if they want to have a guy that's more sufficient in the middle quadrants if they want, or, you know, there's multiple dudes out there, Odell, whatever. And then you can have Brian Thomas kind of as the A over Zay Jones. And I would love that, honestly. I would, in that role as the Z, I would love that in that offense. So, not as much as those other ones, but I do, just mainly because I don't trust Jacksonville. I think that's the main thing.
That's fair.
I don't trust the creativity. But I do think there's opportunities for him. He feels very lane spot dependent for me. So I don't feel good about round one right now for Brian Thomas in fantasy rookie drafts, but that's okay. That's why we have these conversations. That's why this is brought up, and that's why we do these shows and mocks and figure out where people have thoughts and their analysis on them. So 109 for me is one of these two Texas guys, whether it's Worthy or Adonai. I'm going to go with Worthy here at the 109. The speed is different. He's not just a John Ross, a Dree Archer. He's got the 4.21, but he has the 18-year-old breakout, 900-plus yards as a freshman at Texas. He's not quite the Tank Dell as a route runner, but he skates pretty well. He's a creator with the ball in his hand, get the ball line before behind the line of scrimmage, and he can beat seven dudes with good angles down the sideline. He did it against Oklahoma, did it against Wyoming, did it multiple times. He can create despite being 165 pounds. I'm a little worried about the injuries. A little bit. They're not big injuries, but they're nicks every single week. It feels like he's holding an ankle. He's grabbing a knee. He's coming out for a couple of drives. There's a lot of drop questions around Xavier Worthy as well the last 2 years. He did play 2022 with a broken hand, so that can be talked about as far as the 2022 droppage goes. He got a little bit better in 2023, but again, 2022, I think you can put an asterisk next to because of the drops with the broken hand. So I'm going to go Xavier Worthy here, 109.
Man, that hurts. I wanted to, I was hoping he'd just fall right into the Brock Bowers thing and, you know, take him and then I could just swoop
up. I think we're in the same boat with Brock, man. I think we are. I some of these drafts, I'll get the guys and I'm like, hey, you know, this is entire premium. And they'll go, I don't give a shit. 106, 107. I'm like, eh, I'll touch him. I'll take him. Give me 111, 112. I'll take him.
Yep. But
I'm not paying 106, 107 for him.
No, I will take Brock Bowers here and just stop the slide and hope that this is one of those things I can move. As you see behind me, this one, I always get that mixed up, man. I'm a big Iowa tight end fan, but even Sam Laporta in like non-tight end premium, I just hope I can trade him for, you know, a receiver kind of within that range and I'm going to make out better. But that's kind of where you take Brock Bowers here. Not that he's bad, measured in very similarly to Sammy Ballgame. Obviously, the production was probably better on a total scale. Now, if you look at the percentage of passing offense, much different because Iowa only throws the ball like six times a game that are catchable. So Sam Laporta was pretty elite in those categories, but Brock Bowers is awesome. He is awesome, and I just hope I can trade him. But I really wanted Xavier Worthy. I hope you were going to take Brock Bowers, and I wanted to take Xavier. I did. You ruined me, Cody. This is terrible.
Value is what you're getting with Brock Bowers. You're going to be able to trade him for future picks, and you know, it's starting to be the new archetype at tight end, so people maybe fall in love, and you're going to get the value, and somebody's going to want to – they're going to try and trade you for that pick when Bowers is on the clock and things of that nature. I'm going to go add that Mitchell here, 111 from Texas. He surprised everybody. He's supposed to go 4.50-ish, runs 4.34. His ability to separate during games and compete at a strong level in the contested areas and show up in massive games, show up really every week, score touchdowns, which is not a predictable stat, but his ability to consistently be a big play guy in those quadrants. Yards per run, not quite on the level we want, but he did play with Pickens, with McConkie, with Bowers, and then transferred and play with Worthy. And it's a very good wide receiver. I think is going to be better in the NFL than he was in college. 111, Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest AD fan, and when I put anything out there, it seems like Twitter just comes at me, which is fine, but you get him at the 111. I mean, it's the 111, people.
Yeah.
That's completely reasonable range for him. I do actually have a wide receiver, though, above him that I'm happy to take here, and I'm willing to make it my guy. I'm willing to make it, like, my flag plant. Lad. Give me Lad McConkey. Give me that good lad. There was a comp that came up we were talking about in our Discord. You know, people had, for the longest time, had put him in the Hunter Renfrow bucket. They had put him in the Cooper Kupp bucket, right? Well, insert white wide receiver comp, and that was who he was tied to. But we kind of did some digging just based on his size. One of the ones that I really like that I can't unsee anymore is Chris Olave. I just can't. I can't unsee it anymore. I love the Chris Olave. The testing numbers, very similar. When I watch him play too, like I've heard this thing, well, he's a slot guy. Well, why did he run damn near 70% of his routes from outside, not in the slot? Mm-hmm. The only questions I have, and J.J. Zacharyson brought this up on a podcast too, is you look at some metrics analytically that are concerning. You know, yards per team pass attempt is one that comes up. But then you go and you look at the yards per route run, and it's complete opposite. It is in super elite territory, and it's like, what the fuck was Georgia doing? Especially you brought up AD Mitchell. Like, what were they doing at the time where you got these guys who are producing at elite clips, but we're like, ah, we're only going to play them like 50% of the time. We're going to put all these other guys out there that you don't care about. So I'm going to plant my flag, lad, finish off round one.
It makes no sense. You brought it up. The yards per run, 3.26, and that's fourth in the class from the sheet I'm looking at right now. We, you know, have it all just for the 2024 draft class. Fourth. And amongst everybody in the top 10 is 20+% receiving market share, 31% for Neighbors, 26% for Harrison, 20% right. for Franklin, 9% for McConkey, 23, 25, 44, 19, 24, 23. McConkey's the only one literally sub 20% receiving market share on his team. And, you know, you can draw those lines to injuries, Bowers, et cetera, but the utilization should 100% change in the NFL. So we're through one round, Mike, and we were shooting for 25 minutes for two rounds, and we're at 25 minutes in one round. So we
got to put this thing
in. No. Good conversations is what we're having right here.
Put it in overdrive. Let's go.
We got to skip second gear. We got to drop this baby into third. But first, I'm going to recap the second half of this round one. As I mentioned before, Neighbors went 105, Harrison Jr. 106, Udunze 107, Brian Thomas 108, Xavier Worthy 109, Brock Bowers 110, Edna Mitchell 111, Ladd McConkey 112. Yes, people, that is 8 consecutive receivers, if you're counting Brock Bowers as a receiver. 4 quarterbacks, 8 receivers off the board. 2-0-1. I'm back on the clock, and I'm going to go ahead and take quarterback here. I'm going to take Penix because I think Penix gets between draft pick 30 and draft pick 40 in the NFL draft. Someone's going to trade up for him. He's the 5th quarterback, I think, off the board. I think he separated himself from Knicks at the combine. Give me Penix at 201 in Superflex.
Damn it, man. Like, I was hoping to get him a little bit later, but I like it. I like it. I'm a big Penix fan. Not a big fan of his game. You talked about it a little bit at the combine. The route running wasn't great, but there's one thing that he has that I think is going to make NFL teams give him the subsequent draft capital, and I'm kind of in, and I would take Troy Franklin here. It's tough for me to do, but we're going to take it. We're going out on a limb here with Troy.
So a week ago, we did a couple of mocks. He went 108, 109, 112. I did a mock the other day with Theo Grimminger. He went 303.
Jesus.
So I think we're going to have a vast difference among a lot of people in the space
where
Troy Franklin ends up. It all depends. But I do think he's a good receiver. I just I'm definitely cooling down. I've sucked the helium out of my own balloon on that one. So Troy Franklin 202 to Big Mike 203. I'm thinking about. I'm doing it. Jonathan Brooks 203, first running back off the board.
Shit.
University of Texas.
Hurt my soul, man. Hurt my soul. Listen, all right. I'll just continue the train of like wide receivers people hate at this point. I still love them. The 40 was terrible, but Keon Coleman. The rest of the athletic testing was fine. I think his tape has some issues, but I just love him. I love him. I don't have a jersey for no reason. All right, I got a Keon Coleman jersey. I'm going to draft with my heart. Keon.
Oh, I like it. I'm going to go back to running back again. Currently, I have him slated as running back 2. I had Braylon Allen as my running back 1 before the combine. Kind of pissed me off. He came in 10 pounds light. I didn't, you know, his build is nice. Didn't run. Did fine in the drills. But I'm going to move up Trey Benson to my running back 2 currently until this pro day comes out for Wisconsin and we see what happens with Braylon. I think all three of these guys are kind of in the similar same boat for me. It's kind of definitely as far as the talent goes, it's not the same conversation as Harrison, Neighbors, Udunze, but Brooks, Benson, and Allen. Brooks, Benson, and Braylon. Let's do that. Triple B's, baby. Big ball of brand. I'm going to go Benson here, 205.
Taking the running backs, man. Taking the running backs, which I think if I'm in this position too, like I'm completely fine letting somebody else take the running backs and try to figure out which ones are going to be good out of this class. I'm going to go back to the wide receiver. Well, Xavier Leggett. Combine was ridiculous for that guy, his size. And then I liked his on-field drills. I thought he looked a lot smoother than what people let on. The biggest thing about him is, why did it take till 5 years? Some of the context behind it, too. I mean, this is a guy who played high school quarterback now. He wasn't out there just slinging the ball all over the place. He was doing a lot of running. But maybe that kind of led into it. It took him a while to kind of really get his feet as a wide receiver. But if he ever finds it, I don't care about the fifth-year thing at all. At the early part of the second round, holy shit, I just drafted a A.J. Brown clone, which would be pretty awesome.
The speed bounced him back from a disappointing Senior Bowl. There was rumors of an ankle injury, why he couldn't separate and why he didn't perform as well. He bounced back. He had a good interview, weighed 223, ran a 4.39, checking boxes, bouncing back. I'm not sure the draft capital bounces back in the NFL up to top 40, but I do think round two, late round two, Pickens, Metcalf area is 100% in the conversation for Leggett. I like him. The fifth year does worry me a little bit, but I do like him, and this value isn't bad at all. I'm going to go Braylon Allen here. I'm going to take the final running back. Probably I'm going to take the rest of the draft. Braylon Allen here, 207, 245 pounds in the season, 235 last week. Did not run. We'll see what the pro day looks like at Wisconsin, but I love what Braylon brings to the table. I think in the open field, he reminds me, people are going to hate these comps, but as far as talent level, I don't think it's the same, but as far as running style and play style between the tackles, I see Zeke in the open field. I see Todd Gurley open with a lot of surface area, not really a burner. He ran 96 yards against Illinois State, not really a burner in the open field, but he can do it. He should run 4.52, sub 4.52, hopefully at that pro day. Hopefully it's not a 4.6er, because that's gonna nuke him for me. But Braylon Allen, 207. I kind of like this value here for the 20-year-old, the freshly 20-year-old.
I'm good. You left me at least one running back. All right, one running back that I'll rush to the table, plant my flag on in the later part of the second round, Marshawn Lloyd. That's the guy that I want. So I got him right up there with the rest of them. I don't know who to pick at this point.
Yep.
Draft capital is going to mean so much. Landing spot's going to mean so much. You know, what their potential role could be in the NFL. How quickly can we see him on the field? But Marshawn Lloyd is the last one I have of the running backs where I'm like, yeah, I feel really good about taking him in the second round. So you did leave me one. I'm done with wide receivers now.
I can't view this as if I drafted three running backs on the same team, but I might just do it just so I can take receiver now and say I got running backs. I may be stronger than you at one position throughout this bad boy. 209 feels to me like an interesting area to choose what my team needs. Does my team need a quarterback? I think Bo becomes a conversation, but I'm not ready to click that button on Bo Nix quite yet. This is usually the area I like to go tight end between like 206 and 212 if there's one that suffices. To me, there's only one in the conversation right now. He had a disappointing combine. I'm going to go Jatavion Sanders.
I was hoping for a better combine too, man. I really was. Yeah. I really was. Didn't get it. You don't have to worry about it, though. Anybody who knows me knows my affinity for hating Bo Nix is at an all-time high. All right, check down Bo. Pass.
That's cool. Move them off the board. Move them down the board.
The NFL would have to give them like second round draft capital for me to be interested, and I probably still won't be. I did talk about
hot take.
Ready? Yeah.
Spencer Rattler gets drafted ahead of Bo Nix.
I love that. I would take Spencer Rattler way before Bo Nix. I have Spencer Rattler ranked higher than Bo Nix. So hate me if you want. I think he's a better quarterback. He doesn't, you know, have a 4.6 A dot. He actually knows it. How to. We were watching film on Oregon, right? So just a quick story here on Troy Franklin, Bucky Irving, Bo Nix, right? We're watching film on these guys. And one of the patrons says, Bo Nix might be the only guy I've ever seen scramble just to throw a screen pass. It's like, I love it. He did have a play where he ran like 15 yards just to ultimately check it down behind the line of scrimmage on a screen. I was like, what the hell? All right. Two running backs here, and I can't really decide which one, but I'm gonna go with my heart, the combine, what Maddie has, Jalen Wright. I'll take Jalen Wright over Blake Corum.
Maddie's driving this damn Jalen Wright thing, and I hope he's not driving it off a goddamn cliff. That's what I hope.
It's 210.
I like Jalen Wright. Yeah, no, it's 210. He weighed 210. He ran 4.38. Like, this numbers class sucks, up, baby. If we're being honest, at running back. And yeah, it's destiny. 210 makes sense. I like what he brings to the table. I think he's got a lightning bolt attached to each hamstring. We'll see how far that takes him. It took Devon Achane pretty far. I'm not comparing him to Devon Achane, obviously, but I'm just saying that type of player with that one trick is elite. My last pick in this draft, 211. A lot of dudes I love on this list. But there's only one dude that I love the most, and his name is Javon Baker, and he goes to Central Florida, by the way, of Alabama Crimson Tide, Big 12, all Big 12 in 2023, over 1,000 yards, did the damn thing. He played at Alabama for 2 years, didn't really do jack diddly widdly, but he played with some studs, and he transferred and did the damn job. I'd love me some Javon Baker. I think he translates to the NFL exponentially.
Damn. All right. Ruined it for me. But last one. I'm going to go with my guy then. The guy that I like that'll plant a flag on a wide receiver, Jalen Polk. Again, watching tape, Jalen Polk. Yes. Jalen Polk stood out to me, just how well he played. Now, if you go back and you watch 2 years ago, right, Jalen McMillan would be the guy who shined there, which also I'm very interested in this draft. But, you know, at the end of the second round, give me Jalen Polk. I think people hate it, but he kind of has a little Jacoby Myers, like, to his game a little bit. Just a little bit, watching on film.
Is that your
comp? Jacoby Myers is sneaky good, like sneaky good. Dynasty community hates him. I think Keep Trade Cut has him as like a wide receiver 50 something. Like, fix it. Stop that shit. All right, move him higher. But Jalen Polk, 212.
Is that your comp, Jacoby?
It has work to be due. All right? Needs to be done a little bit better, but right offhand, that was the first one that stood out.
Every time Jalen Polk gets brought up, usually it's me drafting him. My comp is always Adam Thielen every time.
Oh, I can get behind that one too. I can see
every
that.
Time. Watched I don't know what it is.
Yes.
I've seen way too much Adam Thielen in my life. Growing up in Minnesota, I watched him ascend from a punt gunner, a punt team running back to the receiver he is today. And I just see so much of that in Jalen Polk. Mike, that's two rounds. Round two, Penix.
If you were to say, what's Jacoby Myers comp? Isn't it Adam Thielen?
Correct.
I love it.
Correct. Correct. 201 was Pope. Michael Penix, Troy Franklin, 202, Jonathan Brooks, 203, Keon Coleman, 204, Trey Benson, 205, Xavier Leggett, 206, Braylon Allen, 207, Marshawn Lloyd, 208, Jatavion Sanders, 209, Jalen Wright, 210 from Tennessee, Javon Baker, flag plant, 211. Jalen Polk, flag plant, 212. Mike, I appreciate you for joining me for this exclusive
Superflex
two-round rookie mock draft. Let the people know what the fuck's cooking at South Harmon.
Just come check us out on YouTube at South Harmon Fantasy Football. You can see us there. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's a horrible one. I'm usually just shit posting or annoying the shit out of Sleeper until they get us, you know, C2C Devi formats. Like, if you want to like, share, and repost those, I would really appreciate it. Let's get to people. Let them know that we're not taking this shit anymore. Sleeper, get your act together. We need college fantasy football today, now.
You heard him. College football, NFL football, both on Sleeper. Get the job done. Mike, I appreciate you. At Iowa Michael on X. This has been a Roster Watch X exclusive two-round Superflex rookie mock draft. I am Cody Carpentier, and I'll be back next week with another one. Until then, have a kick-ass draft season. We'll see you later.
Peace.